Everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. How you doing? Did you tune in for the debate or did you tune out? You tired of all this politics? It's almost over. Three more weeks, three very important weeks. America has a big, big choice to make. Where are we headed? Where are we going? Another 4 years of President Obama or 4 years with Mitt Romney? Who is the best to lead us out of this deep, deep hole that we have sunken into? Because it all comes back to money, 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 money. But money wasn't the only thing that was talked about this second time around. Energy came up, immigration came up, assault weapons, part of the exchange there, education came up, all kinds of things. So it really wasn't a debate about foreign policy. Very little on the foreign front ended up coming out. It was a town hall style debate, so a different kind of flavor than the first time around. The moderator was Candy Crowley, who had trouble sometimes keeping things on track as far as getting to the questions, limiting the time, that kind of thing. She's getting hammered on jumping in on a couple of things, including Libya, where she really helped out the prez. And Obama rebutting Romney on Libya comments. In fact, we're going to let you hear those right now.
Secretary Clinton has done an extraordinary job, but she works for me. I'm the president, and I'm always responsible. And that's why nobody's more interested in finding out exactly what happened than I did. The day after the attack, Governor, I stood in the Rose Garden, and I told the American people and the world that we are going to find out exactly what happened, that this was an act of terror. And I also said that we're going to hunt down those who committed this crime. And then a few days later, I was there greeting the caskets coming into Andrews Air Force Base and grieving with the families. And the suggestion that anybody in my team, whether the Secretary of State, our UN ambassador, anybody on my team would play politics or mislead when we've lost four of our own, Governor, is offensive. That's not what we do. That's not what I do as president. That's not what I do as commander-in-chief.
Governor, if you want to reply
I think it's interesting. The president just said something which is that on the day after the attack, he went to the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror.
That's what I said.
You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror.
Yeah, so we go back to that debate over what was said on the Libya situation, the horrible attack on the consulate in Benghazi that left four Americans dead on September 11th as a result of terrorism. So that argument went back and forth as to what specifically was spelled out. I think some of the major confusion is fact versus fiction on that whole thing. And part of it is because so much was made of the film, that crazy, stupid Prophet Muhammad film that set people off over the U.S. Embassy walls in Cairo and really had nothing to do with what happened in Libya. I think it was an inside job. Still, the FBI is on the ground trying to figure all that out. So you heard the back and forth there, and Candy Crowley saying, listen, if you look at it, the phrase, he did use the phrase act of terror during his remarks, even though that was indirectly, because what he said, if we were specific about it in looking at the transcript. What he actually said is, no acts of terror will ever shake the resolve of this great nation, alter that character, or eclipse the light of the values that we stand for. That's what he said a day after, and then went on to say we mourn the four Americans and all that other kind of stuff. So it's really in the semantics of it, no acts of terror, not saying this was a terrorist attack September 11th, and that's where the back and forth comes from. So the reference to the acts of terror was not about Benghazi. It was about the acts of terror, period, against any of our people anywhere. So, you know, the bottom line is this. In the second debate, there was definitely a marked change in Barack Obama. Not like the first debate where he admits that he had a bad day, that he was definitely off his game. And Romney was able to take advantage of that both in the polls and getting a huge bounce and surge in crowds and people starting to talk a little bit more about him. Some of those independents or undecided is probably a better way to put it, who truly are still undecided. Does that sway people the second time around? I think you call it even. I use this analogy in a previous hour, but I'll use it again since sports and politics are so much alike in some ways. Winning and losing, coming close, how many points, how many votes. This is a jump ball right now, my friends, and somebody, before Obama had this game in hand, now it's a jump ball, and it really could go either way. Democrats and Republican strategists are admitting that, even if it's off the record, that it's just too close to call, that it feels like this may be one of our closest elections. Even some of the most liberal friends of this show, like Ellen Ratner, who's covered Washington politics for a very long time, says without a doubt she cannot call this for Obama, that she thinks it's just that close between Obama and Romney at this point. So the Republicans have obviously, late in the game, have done some things right, or Romney has, enough to have people saying, I might, even though he might not have been my candidate originally, I might just have to vote for Romney. And that is because of the economy and the enormous deficits that we have right now in this country. Too many people feeling like the ground beneath their feet is shaking, and they're worried that they're going to go down, they're going to get sucked into that ground, and they don't want to have that happen. Life isn't supposed to be this hard, is it? And so, ultimately, your fates and fortunes may be the way you strictly vote in this election, who you believe can turn things around. All right, coming up this hour, more conversation, obviously, about the debate and who you think won and who you think lost, and ultimately, who do we want to be the real winners here? And it's us. It's the American people. Remember, our politicians represent us, so we want the best representation. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, even if you have half an eye open, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Turn it over to the B-side. Meet you there. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
That's a fair analogy of it, and especially for the president because of his lackluster debate the first time around. He just got pummeled in the polls. He definitely came back. There's no question about it because he showed up. He was there in the town hall style format. You know, fit him. It absolutely allowed him to do what he does. What he does normally, he's had so many of those town hall meetings. So for 90 minutes, you had a wild discussion that there were some foreign issues, but a lot of domestic issues. It was a big-time face-off. One of the things that was part of the discussion, or really part of the debate, was energy and drilling it. Leases and public lands and oil companies. Take a listen to this.
In the last 4 years, you cut permits and licenses on federal land and federal waters in half.
Not true, Governor Romney.
So how much did you cut them
Not
by?
True.
By how much did you cut them by then?
Governor, we have actually produced more oil.
No. How much did you cut licenses and permits on federal land and federal waters?
Governor Romney, here's what we did. There were a whole bunch of oil companies.
I had a question, and the question was, how much did you cut them by?
You want me to answer
How much
question?
Did you cut them
I'm
by?
I'm happy to answer the question.
All right, and it is?
Here's what happened. You had a whole bunch of oil companies who had leases on public lands that they weren't using. So what we said was, you can't just sit on this for 10, 20, 30 years, decide when you want to drill, when you want to produce, when it's most profitable for you. These are public lands. So if you want to drill on public lands, you use it, or you lose it.
Okay. Now
and so what we did was take away those leases, and we are now reletting them so that we can actually make a profit.
And production on private on government land
is
down.
No, it
isn't. Production on government land of oil is down 14%.
Governor,
and production on gas is down 9%.
It's just not true.
It's absolutely true.
All right, so the public lands, talking about owning the lands and parking it there and then fighting over that, and what actually are the facts over the specifically what Obama was saying. He was right on in some respects on holding onto the land. They shouldn't be able to do that for 10 years, for however long, but not all of them are in that situation, so that's kind of one of those halfers in the end. If you fact check it, that's what you would get with that. I want to make sure that we mix in a couple of other things, because you know what? It wasn't all the debate. It wasn't all just about the debate. There are other things happening across this great country, some sad things, including if you've ever crossed over to Canada from the U.S. side, the one side now is closed. The Peace Arch, I've done it a bunch of times, the Peace Arch crossing on the border was closed. A man driving a van with Washington state plates shot a Canadian guard in the neck, then killed himself. Sadly, the Canadian Border Services officer was apparently breathing when she was hit. They're trying to figure out what happened. They didn't, you know, they're trying to confirm all this stuff. It's one of the busiest points of entry on the northern border. It's to give you an example, last month about 9,000 or so U.S. cars a day. You know, that's how many go over. What's neat about it, and the reason why I've done it, I've been up there, is you've got, that's why it's called the Peace Arch. It has a 67-foot-high monument, and it's in the form of an arch, and it connects the U.S. and Canada. And sadly, this is a terrible thing to happen. They flew her to the hospital, and hopefully she survives, but they don't know much more than that about what was the reason and any of the other things, other intricacies of why this, possibly why he did this, and was there something more to the story? They don't know that yet. The big story in the East Coast, or at least part of it anyway, in New England, is a 4.5 quake in Maine that was felt all the way through Boston. Nobody was injured. A couple of people near the epicenter surprised because they heard that loud boom and they had no idea what was going on, but you know, sure enough, it turned out to be an earthquake. Nobody killed, no injuries, so that's the key thing. So unusual in the East to have any kind of a quake, that people are always absolutely stunned by that. Finally, somebody gets nailed for what they were getting away with on one of our airports for way too long. The final testimony at a federal drug trafficking trial was unbelievable. Jurors listened to how a baggage handler, how a baggage handler's at JFK concealed coke on commercial jets inside some of the wing assembly compartments. And imagine the people on this plane, that they had no idea that they were on a coke plane, basically. So former American Airlines baggage handler Victor Bourne was found guilty last year, if you remember, of charges that he used his behind-the-scene access, the great pass that he had at one of our busiest airports, to smuggle 330 pounds of coke from 2000. He did it for 9 years, from 2000 to 2009. So finally, he's sentenced, and he was sentenced to, after all of that, he was sentenced to life in prison. Whew. And they convicted like 20 people. 19 airline employees were part of this whole thing. Because if you think of the amount of years, imagine the money involved in this. They think, and they don't even know for sure, but $7 million, and they laundered it through businesses in Brooklyn and Barbados. They were able to do that. So a whole lot of people were involved in this drug ring. 60 bricks of cocaine, give or take. Whew. I mean, that's absolutely amazing. Imagine the risk to the people on the plane. And then who knows the people involved in this? If they were airline employees, how deep did it, you know, how deep did it go, and how big could it have gotten? This always surprises me, and I don't know why, because we live in the United States. I just want you to think about this for a second. Would you ever in your wildest imagination imagine being in a museum somewhere? Let's say you take a trip to New York City, or you're in Chicago, or you're in St. Louis in a museum, wherever you might be. And they have some great works of art, masters of Picasso, a rare Van Gogh, whatever it is. And somebody runs in and they steal the painting off the wall and run away. And they don't get caught. This happens in Europe and in crazy places. So you have thieves that grabbed up, no kidding, Monet's and a Picasso from a Dutch museum. They say they broke into the Rotterdam Museum, walked off with others too. Gauguin, Matisse, hundreds of millions of dollars. How did they pull that off? How did they get there? How did they get this art? They clearly knew what they were looking for, and what a crazy haul that is. It's like got to be the worst nightmare of anyone who runs a museum, because there goes what's drawing people to the museum in the first place. The alarm was triggered, but they didn't get there till 5 minutes after, and everything was already gone, the things that they wanted. And this was part of a 20th anniversary celebration thing. So just spaces left on the wall. Could be worth hundreds of millions of euros if they sell, well, they'll fence them somewhere. And they were famous paintings of works of art. And this happens at least a couple times a year. They walk into these museums, get away with them somehow, know where they're going, and they go in and take them. And sometimes, I mean, this wasn't as brazen. Sometimes it's right in the middle of the day. It's how they'll manipulate their way in, and before you know it, poof, it's gone. There's a movie called The Thomas Crown Affair. If you want a good thing to watch, to rent it. It kind of is about this, about an art thief. And it's very true to life, apparently, because of some of the things that we've talked about. All right, how about this? The Tigers beat the Yankees 2-1. They need just one more for the pennant. Oh, there's got to be a lot of crushed New Yorkers out there. Maybe some of you listening between Connecticut or even Vermont are Yankee fans. But Justin Verlander took a shutout into the ninth inning. The Tigers hold on to beat the Yanks, like I said, 3-0 lead in the AL Championship Series. How about that? Hang with us.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure. denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
The health-restoring product you're about to hear about is not sold in retail stores, so get ready to write down a website. RNA Drops is an amazing, revolutionary product that is bringing thousands relief from stress, anxiety, depression, COPD, arthritis, high blood sugar, cysts, hair loss in men and women, joint and back pain, heart function, blood pressure, digestive conditions, headaches, and much more. Ready for the website? Remember, RNA Drops is not sold locally, and for a very limited time, you can get a free sample through this website, rnafreesample.com. Pay only shipping and handling for a 30-day supply. I'll repeat that. It's rnafreesample.com or text RNA to 67076. RNA drops are 100% natural, 100% vegan, safe at every level with no known side effects. So go to rnafreesample.com or text RNA to 67076. Restore your equilibrium and experience stress-relieving power with RNA drops, the chemical-free superfood.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Tell you some of the headlines is a better way to phrase that anyway. So the Boston Herald, on the front page, it says Candyland. Pretty clever. Candy Crowley was the moderator from CNN. It says Candyland in big pink letters, then says dot, 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 and gives him more time to talk. Talking about Obama. Crowley lets Obama skate on Libya Fuhrer. So that was the gist of the cover. Then the question becomes, who was the heaviest hitter in this one? Who won the debates, this debate rather, and who came away maybe scoring a few points with those so-called undecideds? It's not about the people who already know. It's about the people who are a little confused. They have a foot in one direction, another foot in another direction, and they're trying to make their mind up. Sally in Washington, you get a crack at this. Hey, Sally, thanks for ringing the show.
Hi, Kate. I kind of agreed with you. I turned in just now. I got home from watching it at my sister's. I used to be on a speech team, forensic speech team at college, so I was keeping points. And I really felt that Romney laid out his five-point plan three times during the debate. Mm-hmm. But on the Libya question that you were talking about, I took mm-hmm. a point away from Romney. He did not mm-hmm. go after President Obama on that issue. And I actually gave I took a point from Romney. I gave a point to President Obama because he got Candy Crawley to agree with him that in the Rose Garden he said it was a terror attack. And even though an hour later they said, after fact check, she said I was wrong, he got her, during the debate, he got the moderator to agree with him.
Right.
So I gave him a point for that. On the assault rifles that was brought up, I put down that President Obama got a little cocky on that, and I really like that Governor Romney brought up about the Fast and Furious, which you've talked about on your radio show at length.
And, yes, and I think that, I thought that was good, too. I thought that was strong. Yes.
And I thought that when he put the challenge to President Obama about economics and about the license and permits, I thought he did really good. Out here in Washington State, we have the Wild Olympics that they were pushing, but the people of this county, Grace Harbor, have pushed back and not letting it go forward. That's locking up our land. Remember when they locked up the land for the spotted owl and the old growth forest? They tried to do a land grab again, and the people have rebelled here, and it's not going forward like they want. And he was right about the 14%, the leases and the permits. Governor Romney was right on those issues, so when they do fact check, they're going to see. If North Dakota, and when he told that story in North Dakota, I thought Governor Romney was right on, because it was on private lands that they're getting the oil, and he filed a lawsuit against them because 25 birds got killed.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that Romney only won the debate by maybe 2 points, but as far as independence, it was a draw.
It's a draw. It's a draw. You're absolutely.
And then you also talked about Hillary Clinton taking the bullet for him. I mean, that's how it's been portrayed in the news today.
Sure.
She took the
sure.
bullet, said the buck stops with her, which really it stops with the president.
Right.
And here's my thoughts on it. Actions have consequences. And if it really is Secretary of State's Hillary Clinton's fault, then I wanted that question at that guy. I thought it was an excellent question. Who took away the military? They had military there. Who took them away? I can't remember precisely. Do you remember how they stated it? Who took away the military presence?
Right. Why did the security? Yeah, the security. Whose decision was that? Because when they were looking at where they were slicing, obviously that was part of the deal. They wouldn't give them the extra detail. They took away security. So yeah, that's what the guy asked. That was his question.
Yeah, I thought that was an excellent question.
I
and they
did
didn't
too.
Answer it.
Yeah.
Who took away the security? I want to know that. And if Hillary Clinton,
they're going to blame
responsibility. She needs to say it.
Yeah, and I think it was her responsibility. But they'll blame Congress, saying the whole funding thing and where they're going to be able to, where they were able to chop down. That's probably what. Well, it's not probably. I know that's what happened. But that's up to the State Department of where they're using their resources. So it is on Hillary's head. Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was actions have consequences, and is Hillary going to lose her job? I know she's going to be quitting, they say. But yeah, I'm serious. Why doesn't anybody, like even in the housing thing crisis, why don't people get fired?
Right.
I mean, you know, we get fired if we messed up. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
If you were on the radio, which you are, and said something, I mean, you could lose your job like Ron Williams did in NPR that he used to work for?
Yeah, NPR, but then he got a better job, Sally, at Fox. But,
I know.
Yeah, you're right, and he's loving it there, so we're going to have him on the show.
And I got to tell you something, Ron Williams always, you know, defends President Obama, but here's the thing I didn't know. Ron Williams has two sons, and guess what? They're both Republicans.
I know.
I lost my head off
I
of
know.
That.
I know. I think it's great.
All right.
Hey, you're a great caller.
A
we always enjoy you. Thanks. Thanks, Sally. Good points. All right, the New York Times, so you know what their headline says, is rivals bring bare fists to rematch. Biting tone shapes second debate for Obama and Romney. For the president, punch after punch. How about that? In debates dance, here it is, Romney has more missteps. So that's how they're portraying it in the New York Times. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Okay.
Okay.
I got politics for you.
Okay.
How's our great liberal icon, John Roberts, a vote on this thing coming out today?
How's he going to vote on
affirmative action?
Yeah.
How are you going to vote on that?
Yeah, that's a huge case too. That's the girl that they're looking at her case right now, or they heard the arguments last week about whether or not she was denied entrance because she didn't make the quota, which she didn't. She didn't make the quota. That's what it was. So will they uphold Sandra Day O'Connor? That was her whole thing back in 2003. Will they uphold that, or will they shoot it down? And that would really change at least the quotas at colleges for sure, because that would specifically lend itself to that. But it could even be broader. You could even use it in a broader sense of the law for affirmative action. And wow, that's a huge, you're right, that's a huge decision.
I just wonder how he's going to go.
I think, you know what, I think he'll go, if we're just strictly talking about her versus the university's policy, which is what the law is, or what the case is, I think he may go for her, especially after the last decision where he got pummeled on the big decision with health care. I think Roberts goes with her, and I think he flips on the, I think he flips on that affirmative action thing. Yeah.
I just wonder how whole court's going to vote.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Like you said, you know, it affects everybody that does the hiring. You know, you have to hire so many minorities. You have to get so many minority contract jobs.
You know what, let me ask you this question. This is a great question to ask you. Rick, how do you feel about that? If you have to hire, would you want to have to fill quotas, or do you think it should be about the best person?
It's not the best person.
Yep, there you go. Thank you. I'm going to tell you a story, Rick. And when I was a sports director somewhere in a big market radio station where I was doing a radio show, and I had a boss that said to me, listen, there are lots of guys that are applying for this spot. Everybody wants to do sports talk radio, blah, 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 and to cover the Rangers and cover the Cowboys. If you hire somebody who's black, that would be a feather in your cap, and the company would really take a closer look at you. Like,
yeah.
What? And you know what? I didn't do it. I didn't do it just to do it. I looked at the best person, because there was a lot of really good people that applied. I went with the best person. I just was shocked that he said that to me. I mean, basically saying, listen, our numbers are down. If you help us out, it could be good for you. And I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I know. He got overlooked on promotion at Walmart. The woman, the most black, she's a woman.
It's just, it really should just be. I mean, I understand how things happened in the past. Rick, thanks. I understand things were so cockamamie at times, and it was unfair. There's no question. But now, like everything else that happens in this country, we go to the ridiculous ends, and so the pendulum has swung so far in the other direction. And in so many cases, clearly, it should just be the best person. And if the best person is a black man, black woman, whoever, somebody of whatever ethnic background, then fine. They should be able to get the job, too, whoever it is. In other words, it should just be a colorblind process. Shouldn't it be a colorblind process? I mean, what do you want from someone who works for you? What is it that you want out of that person? You want them to be great for the company, enthusiastic, not a PETA, somebody who shows up, gets the stuff done, all that, right? Somebody who's qualified, somebody that you think would fit nicely, they'd like it, you'd like it. People in the company would like it. Wouldn't that be great in a utopian world? It doesn't always work out that way. But in so many industries, it should be pretty easy to pick the best person. Sometimes there's the subjective spots where it's not quite as easy. So I get that, too. And in the college, in the admissions process, shouldn't it be about the best candidates, whoever the best are, however it's weighted, with grades, with academically what you did on entrance exams, and that band, and the backgrounds of, you know, now they look at other things. Were you athletic? Were you on the chess team? Did you do other things in the community, like sort of tiebreaker deals? I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one because it was so awful before in the past. I get it. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283 if you want to throw in your two.
If you like cow's milk, you'll love camel milk.
Yes, the newest, oldest thing in the world.
Camel milk has sustained civilizations for thousands of years. Here's just one user's testimonial.
My Lyme-stricken boy developed severe allergies to nearly every food he ingested. At first, I was scared to death to try camel milk, but he had no allergic reactions of any kind, nothing. The camel milk was wondrous in healing his GI issues, and it's the one thing I can attribute to his getting out of bed after almost a year spent there, too ill to do anything.
Camel milk is loaded with health benefits, far superior to other milk, is rich in B vitamins, and 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, Humpback Dairies of Miller, Missouri. To order, call this number, 1-417-848-7570. That's 1-417-848-7570. Call 1-417-848-7570 for camel milk, the best-kept health secret ever.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with DuraCoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and DuraCoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And DuraCoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The DuraCoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on DuraCoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. DuraCoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use DuraCoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit DuraCoat.net. Spelled DuraCoat.net. DuraCoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Washington Post, the headline says, Obama Romney aggressive in rematch. And then it goes on to say, with finger-pointing interruptions, the candidates challenge each other. Town halls, winners and losers. Obama and Romney show they have plenty left for the final stretch. And then, of course, the big thing that everybody does is the whole fact-checking deal on China, immigration, Libya, taxes, you know, all of that. Fact-checking, I'm certain, will be in the dictionary next time around. In fact, it might already be in the dictionary. Maybe I need to fact check that. You know, if ginormous is in the dictionary, fact-checking might already be there. It is absolutely the biggest, baddest buzzword of this campaign season, because that's what everybody does. They know that now with the way we use technology, it's easy to go and check some of what's being said. You can real-time it even, and that's what happens during these debates. I mean, after all, there was so much practice with the Republicans. There was 20 debates. So immigration was certainly one of the big areas that was hit on, for a few minutes anyway. It wasn't the biggest. Most of it went back to money, economy, taxes, deficit, all that sort of stuff. Romney said that the president couldn't answer during a Univision interview for a failed 2008 campaign promise to overhaul the immigration system during his first year in office. But he did say on that Spanish television network that he was preoccupied with resuscitating the economy during his first year in office, and that he was working on stimulus and bailout programs and all that stuff. But the heavy lifting pretty much was done by 2009. So, yeah, there you have it. And then there's stuff on outsourcing and taxes and all that kind of stuff. And the idea of the outsourcing, I mean, here's the things that you have to know about outsourcing. There is no doubt. I just got back from Ireland. I saw Apple. I saw Google. I saw LinkedIn. I saw a lot of American companies right there in Dublin. In fact, everybody that I met, when they heard my American accent, bragged to me about how isn't it great that there's these opportunities for the Irish people because they have these plants and these offices that are here, American companies that are here in Dublin. A lot of people told me that they were employing people in Cork and Dublin, even in some other areas. And why is that? Because for 4 years, they're not taxed at all. And then once they are taxed, the corporations, it's at a much smaller rate than we tax in the United States. So that's the thing, where you have corporations saying, look, make it 25%. We'll give you all the jobs you want. We won't outsource, even if it's cheaper labor, because we'll still come out on the right end of that with the lower tax bracket. But now we're certainly not going to go there, it doesn't seem, because of the situation we're in with the deficit. So forget the whole fact-checking business there. Without a doubt, there are international players across the board, especially with technologies becoming huge. They're outsourcing all of it. They're outsourcing anything that they can. So there you go. All right, let's. I said that we definitely had a lot of people that sent emails, so I want to make sure that we do the proper thing here and make sure that we squeeze in the mailbag. So without further ado, let's head to the mailroom.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. All right, this comes to us from Tony Dobson. Tony says, hello, Ms. Delaney. I have to tell you, because you were talking a lot about the debate, I decided, shoot, I'm going to watch that thing. I really had no plans to do so, but it wasn't Monday Night Football, and I thought maybe I would get a sense of maybe what Obama and Romney were all about. And I have to tell you, I got a sense that both of them really were just kind of dancing around each other and were on the defense a lot. It certainly seemed that way to me anyway. Well, they were on the offense and the defense. They interrupted each other, went back at each other, all that kind of stuff, because it's kind of like fighting for air. I read a book one time called Fighting for Air, and actually it was about the radio world. So they were fighting for air to get as much time as possible. One guy says this, attacks the other guy, I'm coming after him. He says he didn't raise taxes, I'm going to call BS on that. And then vice versa. That's what it was. So do you give any kind of an edge to the president? You do, in the sense that he was better than he was the last time around. And the polls, some of the polls are showing that, but no one is flat out saying it was a knockout punch, because it wasn't. To me, it just seemed more like a draw than anything. And the likability factor, Obama's always going to win that. I'm seeing all this stuff because I went to a whole bunch of polls, and they always throw in the likability thing. So the likability thing, Romney's edged a little closer, but Obama in the CNN poll had a 47% to 41% edge over Romney. But Romney came out on top on some other issues, which, you know, do you like the guy running the country, or do you think the guy running the country can turn things around? And Romney has an 18-point lead on the economy. So with the economy, there's no doubt. I mean, that's the thing that Romney owns. So people are voting on what they think is going to happen, on who's better able to handle the economy and taxes and the budget deficits. Then there's no question that Romney trumps Obama. I mean, in almost any poll, he trumps him big time. Does it matter when it comes to November 6th, though? You know, I had people on the show that said, oh, you know, the debates don't matter that much. Sure, people will pay attention to the debates, but not everybody's going to pay attention to them. And it's not going to really change someone's mind when they go to vote. But then I'm hearing the opposite thing, that there are a lot of people that are saying they've got one foot in one direction, one foot in the other, and they are worried because they don't want their taxes to go up. And that's the main thing. They can't afford the taxes to go up. They can't afford to continue to live the way they're living, which is not high off the hog, and they're concerned that it's going to be crippling if Obama continues to stay in. Will the taxes go higher? And if Romney comes in, can he really lower the taxes and still attack the deficit, still be able to do that? Let's take another one. Levi says, hello, Kate Delaney and all the people listening to America Tonight. I checked out the debates, and boy, oh boy, they interrupted each other a lot. Although it was much different than Joe Biden, because Joe Biden kind of had that smirky grandpa Cheshire cat grin thing going on, but neither Obama or Romney acted that way. I think that they just wanted more time to get their points across and to come back at their opponent for whatever it was they said to say that that's not true. It seemed like everything that was said was not true from the other guy. Romney said at one point the president's policies have been exercised over the last 4 years and they haven't put America back to work. They did interrupt each other. It was definitely feistier. I guess that's why everybody's saying that, you know, they went toe-to-toe and all that stuff. And constantly they would, Candy Crowley lost control of this thing. She tried to jump in, and they'd say, Candy, hold on a second. Just wait a second. Wait a second. You'll get your chance. I mean, they were like, how many times did they say, just hold on a second? A ton in this last debate. Hey, if you have any thoughts on what happened in the second round, please send them to me, americatonight.net. Click on contact, and you are in.
When he said behind closed doors that 47% of the country considered themselves victims who refused personal responsibility, think about who he was talking about.
I care about 100% of the American people. I want 100% of the American people to have a bright and prosperous future.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100-foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.